Morning, everyone. Our Bible reading this morning is from the Gospel of John. We're in chapter 13. That's on page 1081 of the Church Bibles. If you need a Bible, please put up your hand and one of our welcome team will bring one over to you. Now, in our morning services, we've been thinking about questions that Jesus asks. Now, listen out and look out for the question in verse 12 when we get there. But we'll read John 13 from verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for this is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Amen. This is God's word to us this morning. Please be seated. And please also turn back in your Bible, have it open, at John chapter 13. Picture the scene. A classroom with a group of teenagers set in their first morning of GCSE French. The teacher, sitting at a desk excitedly, stands up and gives a 5-minute speech. She proceeds to tell the class what she expects of them over the coming days and weeks and months. She wants everyone to try really hard at learning and memorizing the vocabulary, the different words. She wants everyone to work hard at understanding verbs and all those other things that go on in learning a new language with some degree of skill. As she heads towards the climax of a little pep talk to these 20 or so students, she tells everyone to pick up their pencils, open their textbooks, and dive into page 1 with her. And she's met with a sea of blank faces. No one moves a muscle. And she utters the words that still stick in my mind. Comprenez-vous? Do you understand? And one little Glaswegian lad says, Miss, you've been speaking in French for the last 5 minutes. How can we possibly understand what you want us to do? We've got no idea. But if you help us to understand, if you tell us exactly what it is you want us to do in English this time, then we'll do what you want us to do. If you help us to understand, we can take the right course of action. Now, I'm paraphrasing for a bit of time. But I remember that class very, very vividly. And the question that Jesus asks his disciples today in verse 12 of chapter 13 is this. Do you understand what I've done for you? Jesus, on the night before his death, is having a meal with his friends. At some point during dinner, Jesus stands up and goes over and washes his disciples' feet. And while they haven't got a clue what is going on, he asks them, do you understand? Do you understand? Do you understand what I've done? Because Jesus says, and he explains just after that, a right understanding of what Jesus has done will lead to his disciples acting in the right way. A right understanding of what Jesus has done will lead to his disciples acting in the right way. And that action, he says to his disciples, is that they will love each other and serve each other humbly, lovingly. And just as a right understanding of what Jesus did that night was crucial in how those disciples would act after that, so a right understanding of what Jesus did that night will help us to understand how we should act towards one another. A right understanding of what Jesus is doing here will lead to a right action in his followers with Jesus' help. What is it that Jesus wants us to understand that will lead to us doing the right thing? Well, first of all, do we understand, as we read these verses, the breathtaking action of the Lord Jesus? A low table sits in the middle of a room. Jesus and his disciples are in a circle around this table, lying on low mats, their head first towards the table. They're leaning on their left elbows, with their right arm free to grab food and shove it in their mouth. During this last meal before Jesus is executed, Jesus is going to prepare his disciples for what is to come. He's got loads to explain to them. But before he speaks and says what must be explained, there's something he's got to do that is part of their preparation. He suddenly notices that everyone's feet is filthy. John, who was there, who saw every part of this, says in verse 4, so he got up. He got up from the meal. He saw that their feet were dirty, and he took deliberate action, purposeful action. He took off his outer clothing. In our terms, he was standing in his underpants. He wrapped a towel round his waist. In Jesus' day, when you arrived at someone's house, the lowest slave took your sandals, got out a basin of water, and washed your feet. Jesus is doing slave donkey work. Jesus pours water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet. Jesus gets down on his hands and knees. Feet stink. In those days, maybe some of them were wearing sandals. Maybe some of them were barefoot. There's no street sweepers. There's no bin men. There's loads of animals wandering about. It doesn't bear thinking about what might have been in those feet. And Jesus, he's right in there. He's even getting in the cheesy bits right between your toes. That must have been a brilliant foot washing. And Jesus then dries the feet with his towel. He finishes the job with gentleness and care. He puts on his clothes. In verse 12, when he had finished washing the feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Now, loads of us have probably read these words before. Many, many times, in fact. But aren't these breathtaking words? The disciples would certainly have thought so. You can just imagine them as they're enjoying their dinner. What's Jesus doing now? Oh, wait. Oh, no. Oh, wait a minute, Jesus. What are you doing? And I'm sure when it happened, you know, if they had forks, 12 forks would have dropped onto plates. Mouths would have gasped. Where there had been lots of talking and laughter and a raucous noise, there is silence. You could have heard a pin drop. You see, while the disciples might volunteer to wash Jesus' feet, although no one does, they certainly wouldn't volunteer to wash each other's feet. That was slave work. That was beneath them. You didn't wash the feet of your friends. Too demeaning. Too servant-like. We're better than that. And what's even more breathtaking is verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning from God to God. The one who got amongst the feet, the cheesy toes, was the all-powerful Son of God. Who's the most powerful man or woman that you can think of? President Obama? President of China? Maybe one of the CEOs of one of those massive companies that seemingly can ruin countries if it takes the fancy? Even those who have authority to order nuclear attacks and ruin economies are nothing compared to the power that the Father has given the Lord Jesus. And yet he gets down on his knees and washes his disciples' feet. Look at verse 4 again. Do you notice the word "so" there? It's important because it shows a connection. Jesus has this knowledge that he's come from God, that the Father has given him all power, that he's going to go back there. And yet he still does this. He knows what's going on. He knew he was the eternal Son of God, the one whom the angels bow down before, the one who spoke things into existence, the one who controls the entire universe, its course and direction. And he gets a face full of disciple feet. These words are breathtaking. Do you understand the breathtaking action of Jesus? Well, maybe it's getting a little clearer. But maybe it gets clearer still as we answer this next question. Do we understand the symbolic action of Jesus? Look what happens when we reach verse 6. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter didn't get what happened that night, not until later, not until after the cross and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It was only then he could see that Jesus' actions were a bit like a parable. They were symbolic. Jesus was acting out what would happen the next day as he was crucified. Jesus was acting out his cleansing sacrifice at the cross. At the meal that night, the actions of Jesus were not really about washing smelly feet. Not really. It was pointing forward to what he would accomplish the very next day. As he dies, gasping for breath, to wash not dirty feet, but dirty sinners like me. Look back at verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. By washing his disciples' feet, Jesus was demonstrating the even greater love his death was about to reveal. If you like, the actions of Jesus reveal his mission to rescue men and women. He got up, as it were, and left the glory of heaven. He got up and took off his outer clothing. The eternal Son of God was with God the Father in eternity, and he left it. He took the nature of a servant. He took on human flesh. He laid aside his glory. And he came to this earth and washed people's feet and dried them with a towel. Through his death on the cross, Jesus did everything that was necessary. He did a thorough job at cleaning all the sins that I deserve to be punished for. And he does it as I trust in him. He loves me so much. He loves us so much that even those horrible bits of us, those bits we're ashamed and guilty of, if you like, the cheese between our toes, Jesus dies to wash us clean from those things as well. And when he had finished, in verse 12, he puts on his clothes and returns to his place. You see, Jesus is no longer on the cross. Having provided the perfect sacrifice for sin that first Good Friday, he rose again 3 days later. And having been seen by hundreds of people over the next few weeks, he ascended back into heaven. He put his outer clothes back on, as it were. He took his rightful place and is now all power and authority at his Father's right hand. And from heaven, he continues to do what he began, washing dirty, sinful people like me who have turned against God. And it's all on the basis of his sacrifice. Do you understand the symbolic action of Jesus? Is it beginning to make any sense? Well, it didn't for Peter. Look at verse 8. "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answers, "Unless I wash you, you have no part of me." Sorry, with me. The washing of his disciples' feet demonstrates the full extent of his love that Jesus had for his people. In his love, he has to wash us clean. He has to. And at Passover, he submits as God's sacrificial lamb in our place to wash us clean from the sin which makes us filthy before God. Growing up in Glasgow, I played football a lot. The only other thing you might know about Glasgow is that it rains a lot. Football and rain usually produce mud, lots of it. And I can remember one particular occasion when my brother and I were caked head to toe in mud. And my mother wouldn't let us in the house. We had to strip off and hose each other down before she would let us cross in through the back door. We cannot have a relationship with the living God. We cannot have eternal life unless the Lord Jesus washes us clean, unless he hoses us down. You see, we may be physically clean. We may physically look all right. And we may think that we are respectable people. But spiritually, the Bible tells us that we are filthy before God. Every one of us, me included. And the Bible tells us that we cannot come into God's presence in that state. We cannot, as it were, come into his house. We've got to be clean. We're outside looking in. And every single one of us has to ask, has the Lord Jesus washed me clean? How does it happen? How does the Lord Jesus wash us clean? Well, our verses show us, like Peter, as long as we think we don't need a bath, as long as we think we can get by without being washed, we will never be rescued by the Lord Jesus. We have to humble ourselves. Only his blood poured out on the cross washes us clean. And we have to ask him personally to wash us. All can be forgiven. Even those cheesy bits can be washed off. The prophet Isaiah, speaking of this, says that though your sins are like scarlet, they can be as white as snow. You know, there's nothing we can do about this on our own. There's no amount of positive thinking. There's no action that we can take. There's no help that we can do for one another. It's only as we trust in the Lord Jesus. It's only as we admit that we need to be washed and we turn to him and cry out for forgiveness. Now, I know that lots of people here this morning have done that. But these verses are still relevant to us who have. Let me show you in verse 9. Peter says, "Then, Lord, don't just wash my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus uses this opportunity to teach about the need for an ongoing cleansing from sin. Jesus, it says in verse 10, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean." So this is important as we understand the cross. You see, Jesus distinguishes between a once-for-all cleansing, like a bath, and those ongoing need to wash our hands. That happens during the day as we go to the toilet, as we go to work. He distinguishes between those two things. If you like, there is a once-for-all washing when we become Christians and Jesus deals with our sin. But there is still an ongoing need, even as Christians, especially as Christians, to ask for the forgiveness that Jesus provides. If you've ever ridden a bike in the rain, you'll have noticed that once you take your jumper off afterwards, you've got a big mark up the back of your jumper, and you've got stains in your legs from where you've been riding through puddles. As we live our lives of faith, as we live as Christians every day, sin still splashes us. It still affects us. It still puts the marks on our jumper and splashes our legs, as it were. We need those sins to be dealt with every day. And we do it by coming to Jesus and asking once more for washing and forgiveness. Now, if I've understood this breathtaking action of Jesus, and if I've understood this symbolic action of Jesus, two big things have struck me this week as I've looked at this passage. Number one is this. I can be certain that I am loved by Jesus. I can be certain that I am loved by Jesus. And it produces great peace and great confidence in me. In chapter 12, verse 27, we thought about it last week. As Jesus heads towards the cross, he's troubled. There is something churning away at him as he knows what's coming. How is he able to carry out his mission? He knew who he was. He knew that the Father had put all things in his power. He knew that he had to show the full extent of his love by dying and rescuing men and women who would trust in him. And he knew where he was going. That's how he was able to carry out his mission. And as followers of Jesus, we know that the Lord Jesus has died and rose again to rescue us from sins. He really does love us. And as we trust in him, we can be certain of where we are going as well. The Bible assures us that nothing can separate us from his love. And so no matter what people say, no matter what people do to me, no matter what I come up against as a Christian, whatever opposition or persecution, even if death is approaching, I can have great peace and confidence, knowing that as I trust in him, where he is now, I will go and be with him one day. And the Bible describes that as better than anything that this world can offer us. I know that I am loved. But also I can be certain that I need continual washing by the Lord Jesus. Not a day goes by, not even an hour, and probably not even a minute goes by where I don't need to be washed clean. Sin is still a real struggle, a real battle, and an uncomfortable but good question to ask each other, even this morning after the service, is, have you had a wash today? Now, don't take that the wrong way. I'm not saying you stink. But I'm saying, have you confessed your sins and asked Jesus to forgive you today, this morning, right now? And I wonder if I don't ask it often enough is because I really don't want you to ask me if I've done it. Do we understand this breathtaking action of Jesus? Do we understand the symbolic action of Jesus? If we do, what is the right action that this understanding should lead to? Well, finally, do we understand the example-setting action of the Lord Jesus? Follow with me from verse 12. When Jesus had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. How did I learn to speak with a Glaswegian accent? How did I learn to ride a bike, kick a ball, tie my shoelaces? How did I learn to do lots of other things? Well, I had a model. I had several models. I had a template. I had an example. My mom or my dad would show me how to do something, and then I would copy them. And then I would do it for myself. I learned by copying and doing. Copying and doing. And Jesus says that if we really understand what he's done for us, then this is the example for my Christian life, for our Christian lives. Not one of many examples, the example. If we know and understand what Jesus is doing here, if we've trusted in him, if he has changed us, then our priority will be Jesus' priority. Jesus is saying that all through our lives, until the day we die, we will wash the feet of our Christian brothers and sisters. We'll wash the feet. Now, I don't think that means that we should have some kind of ceremony, as I've seen in some churches, where they get out, 200 basins and 200 towels. But I think what it does mean is that we live a life of humble, loving, purposeful action that serves others Jesus is telling us to get up. Get up. Take purposeful, deliberate action towards our brothers and sisters. He's saying, take off the outer clothing of pride that says, I think you should serve me. Now he says, we'll take that outer clothing off and serve one another. We'll wrap a towel of humble service around ourselves. We'll be ready and willing to serve. And it will be costly. It will be sacrificial. We will give ourselves for others. We'll be willing to wash each other's feet, taking whatever action is necessary. We'll dry people's feet with a towel. We'll take great care in making sure that we finish the task that we've been given to do. And this is to be our pattern, the example for all our lives. When all we have to do is finished, and we can be confident knowing that where we are going will be a reality. In the first generations of Christians in the Roman world, periodically, you know, great plagues of illness and sickness would sweep through the Roman Empire. Many families, many Roman families, would just throw the sick relatives out onto the street to die. They didn't want to be infected. They didn't want to die. But Christians nursed and cared for their dying brothers and sisters at great risk to themselves. And they cared for and nursed those people who had been flung out onto the streets at great risk to themselves. All at the risk of their own death. And all through history, there are examples of Christian love in humanly terrible circumstances. And it's made people sit up and say, see how they love each other. And sometimes it's resulted in people coming to faith, as they've said, what is it about them that's different? And Christians have said, we understand what Jesus has done. And we want to serve our brothers and sisters like him. Do I understand what Jesus has done for me? Whose feet am I washing? What deliberate action am I taking to wash people's feet? Am I speaking to the person who doesn't really know anyone in our local church? That's washing someone's feet. Am I inviting people for a meal who may be going home on their own on a Sunday? That's washing people's feet. Am I visiting that person I know to be ill? Maybe writing them an encouraging note, phoning them up? That's washing people's feet. Is there someone who needs a lift to church? Can I serve tea and coffee on a Sunday? Are there gaps in different areas of church where I could serve? Where can I wash people's feet? And please don't think this only relates to practical matters. You see, washing each other's feet will also mean taking great care, deliberate action, and helping each other spiritually. Helping each other to ask for forgiveness. Helping each other to live pure lives. Deliberately acting for the spiritual well-being of our brothers and sisters. Think back to where I started, my GCSE French class. What was the problem there? We couldn't do what the teacher wanted because we didn't understand. We didn't understand, so we couldn't act correctly. If we aren't washing our fellow disciples' feet, if this is not our growing attitude and pattern with Jesus' help, are we really saying that I am greater than my master? Am I saying that as one of his messengers, I'm better than him? When he says, do you understand what I've done for you? Does my life say, Jesus, I've not got a clue? Do we understand what he's done for us? But if we do understand, what does he say to us? Look at verse 17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. What is it to be blessed? It's to be in the position of God's favor. To be blessed is to be best. It's the position where God looks down on us and smiles. He is pleased. And where does Jesus say that is? As we're on our knees beside Jesus, washing each other's feet. Do I understand what Jesus has done for me? If I do, I'll be on my knees. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that you washed your disciples' feet. Thank you that it was a picture of how you were going to wash away their sins and our sins by dying for us. Help us to understand that we cannot save ourselves. Please keep washing me every day, where I never think that I have stopped needing this. And help us today to wash each other's feet and take deliberate action to be like you in serving one another. We ask these things in your name. Amen.